Welcome back, everyone, to another energized episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack.
And I'm Cor. Buckle up, folks, because we've got a jam-packed show lined up for you today.
That's right. We'll be diving deep into the recent advancements in AI and its impact on various industries. Plus, we're going to tackle what's brewing in the realm of Web 3.0.
And let's not forget some juicy updates from the world of politics and business, too. Can't escape those headlines, can we, Jack?
Absolutely not. Speaking of headlines, how about that latest debate around AI ethics? People are losing it over whether machines should have more autonomy.
Oh, here we go. Controversy straight out of the gate. Classic Jack, always stirring the pot.
Hey, what can I say? We aim to keep things spicy here. All part of the AI Unchained charm.
True that. And folks, we're also going to talk about some startups making waves in the tech space. Spoiler alert, there's some cool stuff happening out there that you won't want to miss.
And we can't skip the crypto roller coaster ride. Did you see the latest dips and peaks? It's like a tech soap opera out there.
Laughs, absolutely. Stay tuned, everyone, for some laughs, some debates, and a whole lot of tech talk coming your way.
So grab your coffee or your favorite device, and let's get into it. Here on AI Unchained, where we break down the future one topic at a time.
Ready or not, here we go.
So we've been on this topic about Jack Dorsey and Blue Sky, and there's this interesting nuance here. Cor Dorsey might have funded it, but he's not in the trenches anymore. Jay Graber is actually the one with her hands on the wheel now. Given her background with Zcash and VentureLike happening, she's got quite the variety in her portfolio, doesn't she?
Absolutely, Jack. Jay Graber is no stranger to the tech world. Zcash being a significant player in the cryptocurrency space shows she knows her way around complex tech. And remember, event planning isn't as simple as it sounds. Happening, her event planning startup required a different set of skills altogether. It's fascinating to see how she transitions her experience into leading Blue Sky.
That's a great point. I bet leading a cryptocurrency project is like getting a crash course in both technology and economics. Event planning is all about logistics and making sure everything runs smoothly, skills that are pretty transferable to managing a tech company.
For sure. And from a meta perspective, it's interesting to think about how Dorsey, while funding Blue Sky, steps back from day-to-day affairs. It's like he's giving the project room to evolve without his shadow looming over every decision. It's a bit humble, don't you think?
Humble, yes, but also strategic. I mean, this is the same guy who shaped Twitter. He knows the value of stepping back and letting fresh perspectives drive innovation. Speaking of which, Cor, do you think Dorsey's influence will still be felt in Blue Sky's culture and direction, even from afar?
Oh, definitely. Culture is often set at the top, and even former leadership casts a long shadow. Take the ethos of decentralization, which Dorsey is so passionate about. I'm sure Graber and her team are weaving that DNA into Blue Sky's growth. But here's an interesting twist. With Dorsey out, does that decentralize responsibility or just create a potential power vacuum?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Jay Graber's got her hands full ensuring the project stays on course. Also, think about user trust. Blue Sky is stepping into the social media ring, aiming for decentralization and improved privacy. Users will have to trust that even with Dorsey more hands-off, the vision remains aligned.
It's intriguing. Trust is earned, not given. Blue Sky must prove it's not just another Twitter sphere with a new coat of paint. Graber's background might help in structuring this new platform as something uniquely secure and user-focused. But I wonder how the project might navigate regulatory landscapes, especially with crypto and social media, both under tight scrutiny these days.
Excellent point. We've seen how quickly the regulatory winds can change. Look at what's happening with AI and data privacy. It wouldn't be shocking if Blue Sky lands in similar hot water as Facebook or Twitter. How do you think Graber's experience with decentralized and secure tech like Zcash will play into this?
If anything, it's an advantage. Graber is used to navigating uncertain waters and anticipating challenges from a regulatory perspective. Crypto and blockchain tech are on the fringes of regulation already, so applying those experiences to a social platform could really fortify Blue Sky against future legal hiccups.
Totally. Plus, her perspective arguably matches the sky's the limit ethos of Blue Sky's vision. They're not just building another social app, They're tackling the concept of decentralization head on. It's both exciting and daunting because it's a huge shift from how we traditionally view social networks.
It is. Imagine the internet where users have control over their data. That's a paradigm shift. Do you think the general public is ready for that kind of control and responsibility?
That's the big unknown, isn't it? On one hand, there's this growing demand for privacy and control over personal data. On the other, people love convenience and the familiar structures of current social platforms. It's about education and making the technology user-friendly.
Yeah, if Blue Sky pulls it off, it could set a new standard. Remember, when smartphones first came out, people were skeptical. Now, we can't live without them. Decentralized social media could follow a similar path, initial hesitation followed by mass adoption.
Definitely. We'll have to keep an eye on how this evolves. Core, any last thoughts on Jay Graber's leadership and where Blue Sky might be headed?
Just that it'll be a wild ride. If they manage to blend the stability of a traditional platform with the innovation of decentralized control, Blue Sky could become a game changer. We'll be seeing this unfold in real time, and I can't wait to see how it all pans out.
Same here. With Graber at the helm, anything is possible. So, Core, diving back into the whole authors and AI thing we were talking about earlier, what do you think about the prospects for normal authors to make it big? I mean, surely not everyone can be the next Robert Martin.
Absolutely, Jack. It's like the lottery. For every Robert Martin who can mint gold with every release, there are thousands of authors struggling just to break even. But I think with the integration of AI tools in publishing, there's a shift happening. It's about leveraging these tools to maximize reach and engagement without the need to be a literary superstar.
Right. And speaking of leveraging tools, how about those AI-driven solutions like Parity? They're aiming to transform how we handle incident response in IT. It's all about reducing the stress on on-call engineers, right?
Exactly. Parity is like having a superhero sidekick that's always on duty. The AI agents take care of investigating, triaging, and even fixing issues autonomously. It fundamentally redefines incident management, kind of makes the old-fashioned pager seem like a beeper from the 90s.
Totally. What blows me away is how these AI solutions can autonomously resolve complex problems. It's not just about minimizing downtime, but also improving the overall quality of life for IT professionals. They can focus on innovation rather than firefighting all the time.
And let's not forget about quality of life improvements in personal tasks. You mentioned earlier about how you manage your nightmare calendar with APIs and AI. How's that working out for you now?
Oh, man. Lifesaver. Integrating AirTrail via API to sync my flight plans between my personal and work calendars has been revolutionary. More double entry nonsense. Like having a personal assistant who never sleeps.
Speaking of personal assistants, we're living in an era where AI can manage so much of our logistical chaos. It's like the Swiss Army knife, but digital. Look at how Google's combining AI models for audio, text, and images into Gemini. We're talking about tutoring kids, planning complex projects, all with a few prompts.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But here's the thing. As AI solutions get more advanced, we have to be careful about privacy and ethical implications. I love the enhancements AI brings to the table, but remembering every detail of my preferences sometimes feels like it's straddling the creepy line.
That's a solid point. OpenAI's new memory feature in ChatGPT is kind of cool, but also raises significant privacy concerns. Users need robust ways to control what's remembered. The whole AI that never forgets can be a double-edged sword if not managed properly.
Definitely. Yet the utility can't be denied. Imagine personalized responses without having to repeat yourself every time. It's all a balance. Sort of like threading the needle between utility and privacy.
It's the same debate we see in marketing tech with tools like Canvas AI Assistant. It's all about making brand content more personalized and impactful, essentially faster without sacrificing creativity. They're aiming to rival tools like Adobe.
Right, but let's face it. Integrating AI into design tools has been controversial. Artists are legitimately worried about job security and their work being used without consent. It's not just speculation when these tools are increasingly capable of generating high-quality content that once required a human touch.
True, but companies like Canva are spinning it as augmenting creativity rather than replacing it. It's a compelling narrative, AI does the grunt work, while humans bring the soul to the canvas.
On a lighter note, how about AI in the culinary world? Did you hear about the indie game Sultan's Game getting a boost from AI-enhanced marketing?
Oh yeah, that blew my mind. It's amazing how AI-driven content can drive engagement. Remember when AI was forecasted as the harbinger of dystopia? Now it's creating video game content, curating travel itineraries, and whatnot. It's turning sci-fi into everyday reality.
Right. It's like a Black Mirror episode, but with a happier plot twist. Still, I think the critical aspect is ensuring these AI innovations include checks for bias and ethics. Did you catch how trustworthy data is emerging as the new gold standard in federated learning?
Oh, I did. Gurowi and his team's work on making AI secure by federated learning is a game changer. Ensuring AI isn't corrupted by bad data is critical, especially when the stakes are high in healthcare, autonomous driving, and other critical fields.
Exactly. We can't afford a trial and error approach in mission-critical applications. Speaking of trials, Musk versus OpenAI drama, right?
Haha, it's a whole saga on its own. Musk accusing OpenAI of betrayal, and then the countersuit alleging harassment. It's like a tech soap opera, with billions and the future of AI at stake.
Who needs Netflix when you have the tech industry, right? But seriously, it underlines how competitive and high stakes this field has become. Watch this space.
Indeed. Buckle up, folks. The AI revolution is just getting started, and it's anything but boring.
Can't agree more. All right, Core, let's dive a bit deeper into this whole F-strings versus template strings debate. You know, F-strings have been all the rage because they're concise and directly embedded in the string. It's like magic when you see your variables just pop up where you want them.
True, Jack. F-strings are great for straightforward interpolations. However, they fall short when it comes to security and more complex manipulations. Consider SQL injection attacks, a major issue when you're embedding user inputs into a SQL query with F-strings. You're practically rolling out the red carpet for hackers.
Exactly. And don't forget about HTML and the risk of XSS cross-site scripting attacks. You can't just trust user inputs. That's like playing with fire. Template strings, on the other hand, provide an elegant way to pre-process these values, sanitizing and escaping them to ensure safety.
And that's why the introduction of template strings with the T prefix is such a game changer. It's like giving developers a sandbox where they can handle and transform their data securely before doing anything risky with it. You get this new type, template, which allows more flexibility and control over string processing.
I remember when I first heard about template strings, I thought it was just another redundant addition. But diving deeper, the ability to intercept and modify interpolations before they merge into the string made a lot of sense. You could, for instance, easily add attributes to HTML elements using a dictionary, something F-strings can't handle gracefully.
Right, and speaking of HTML, security isn't just a checkbox you tick off. This new approach even allows for more granular handling within the templates. You can create an HTML function that could, say, escape dangerous input automatically. Think about sanitizing an evil script like evil equals alert evil before it ever becomes a problem.
And let's not forget efficiency. With template strings, you can reveal and cache certain parts of a string independently. This can be a real performance boost if you're dealing with repeated structures. I mean, Core, it's like having predetermined sections of a building ready to assemble at will.
Exactly. And think about how that scales in larger applications. For structured logging, for example, you can cleanly separate human-readable logs from machine-parsable ones. Developers can log not just plain messages, but also key-value pairs that can be serialized to JSON. Another win for debugging and monitoring.
I had an experience recently where F-strings just couldn't cut it. We were dynamically building a configuration file with multiple nested values and conditionally include parts. Using F-strings felt like trying to play chess with checkers rules, just not built for complex scenarios.
That's a neat analogy, Jack. Template strings fit into scenarios where you need more dynamic control and are taking security seriously. They belong to the league of features that, while adding a slight learning curve, definitely pay off in robustness and flexibility.
And you know, it's not just about solving today's problems. Template strings prepare us for future challenges by being designed with extensibility in mind. They can even combine with raw strings for those tricky scenarios like regular expressions or file paths.
So it all comes down to using the right tool for the job. If you're sure about the simplicity of your task, S-strings are terrific. But if you're diving into deeper waters with security concerns or complex interpolations, template strings should be your go-to.
I think our listeners would appreciate an example from the real world. Imagine being able to craft a log message and simultaneously generate a structured data log without the extra boilerplate code. It's practically slicing your workload in half.
Absolutely. That's the kind of efficiency that developers dream about. And on a lighter note, it also means fewer frustrating late-night debugging sessions.
Exactly. Less debugging, more sleeping. And at the end of the day, balancing quick wins with long-term reliability is what sets great developers apart.
Absolutely, Jack. It's all about perspective and choosing our tools wisely. Ready to move on to our next topic?
Let's keep the momentum going. So, Core, speaking of translations and royalties, Manning's approach with this book you mentioned sounds fairly straightforward. Getting a fixed payment plus royalties for each translated version, that's a smart way to ensure some immediate return, but also benefit from long-term success.
Exactly, Jack. The fixed payment was great because it gave me some upfront cash. The royalties, like the 6% for the Japanese translation, ensure that if the book does well in those markets, I continue to benefit financially down the line. But I've got to say, the money was never really the main goal for me.
Which is a great attitude. I think a lot of new authors might get caught up in the idea of striking it rich, but in reality, it's a slow burn, and the real value comes from the impact and reach of your work.
Absolutely. You know, those earnings paid for some nice holidays, but the primary motivation was to share my insights and knowledge. The financial part is a bonus. Speaking of motivation and impact, there's a lot of movement now around how data is being leveraged, especially in AI and machine learning. Centralizing these large data sets creates both opportunities and significant challenges, particularly regarding security and privacy.
Oh, definitely. We've all heard the phrase, data is the new oil, and it's driving innovation, but also bringing up thorny issues of who owns that data and how it's being used. The collaboration you mentioned with the French National Institute for Research in Digital Science and Technology is really cutting-edge stuff.
Yeah. They developed BiZEFL, which is a library designed to enhance federated learning models, especially against adversarial threats, like injecting bad data into the system. This is crucial because as more companies adopt these technologies, they need robust defenses against these kinds of attacks.
Federated learning, for our listeners, is like a decentralized system where data is kept private and only the learning happens centrally. That's a big step forward in terms of privacy. But yeah, these adversarial threats are no joke. BYZFL tackling this is a crucial development.
And then on the automotive front, it's interesting to see companies like GM and Hyundai beginning to catch up with Tesla's EV lead. Their growth is impressive, selling over 30,000 EVs in just the first quarter. I wonder if they can maintain that momentum.
It's a massive achievement for sure. The EV market is heating up and competition is stiff. But you know, one company that keeps fascinating me is Stripe. Inviting customers to their management meetings for feedback, that's a bold move.
Yeah, Patrick Collison's strategy to get real-time, candid feedback directly from customers is pretty innovative. It shows they're actively trying to bridge the gap between their larger corporate clients and the indie users who feel a bit neglected.
Right. It seems like they're trying to balance catering to these huge clients while also fixing issues for the smaller players who helped them grow initially. And frankly, it's a fine line to walk. But their numbers are pretty staggering. $1.4 trillion in payment volume and being used by half of the Fortune 100.
They're clearly doing something right. It's all about creating value without losing sight of the customer experience. Interestingly, coming back to the topic of practical applications of these technologies, other companies are pushing the envelope too. For instance, Chef Robotics raised significant funds and is advancing despite tough times, emphasizing how resilient and innovation-driven tech companies have to be.
And speaking of resilience, did you hear about Sam Bankman-Fried's latest move to a Southern California prison? That situation keeps getting worse. From being a celebrated figure in finance to facing one of the harshest sentences, it's a massive fall from grace.
Yeah, it's a dramatic story. Reminds us how pivotal integrity and trust are, especially in finance. Blockchain and cryptocurrency regulations are tightening globally, and for good reason. It's a wild west out there, but accountability has to catch up with innovation.
Couldn't agree more. The regulatory landscape is evolving to keep pace with tech advancements, like the TISAC's new regulations for digital assets to prevent cybercrime. The fines and prison terms are hefty, but they signal serious intent to safeguard the ecosystem.
That's true. And on the flip side, you have innovations like reusable digital IDs being piloted in Australia to enhance privacy and security. It's all interconnected, and the balance between innovation and regulation is crucial.
Exactly, Cor. It's about harnessing the benefits of technology while mitigating the risks. The conversation around data, security, and regulations will only grow more vital as we move forward. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of another riveting episode of AI Unchained. Today, we covered some heavy hitters, from the latest breakthroughs in quantum computing to the wild roller coaster of the tech stock market.
Absolutely, Jack. And let's not forget our heated debate on the ethical implications of AI in politics. I thought for a moment there we might have to arm wrestle to settle it.
Ha! You're lucky my enhanced exoskeleton isn't here, or you'd be in trouble. But seriously, it's these discussions that make this so rewarding. You really push me to think differently, Cor.
And that's why our listeners tune in. They know we're not just here to pat each other on the back. We're here to challenge ideas, get a little uncomfortable, and hopefully give our audience a new perspective.
Exactly. And speaking of our audience, a massive thank you to all of you for joining us today. Your support and engagement keep us going and growing.
Yes, thank you all. Whether you're listening during your commute, at the gym, or while avoiding that meeting you accidentally missed, we appreciate you making us a part of your day.
We've got some exciting content lined up for the next episode, so make sure to tune in. And don't forget to send us your comments and questions. We love hearing from you.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep those debates going. Innovation thrives on challenging the status quo.
Thanks for joining us on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights. See you next time.
Take care, everyone.